this nation. Now, our first speaker tonight was not able to join us in person because of a previous commitment, but I wanted you to have the benefit of his insight. He is an earned Juris Doctorate in constitutional law. He has served senators and he has served presidents. And now he serves the least of these as the founder and president of Prison Fellowship, Chuck Colson.
I'm happy to have this opportunity to join with Tony Perkins, my friend, and FRC, and putting this broadcast on across the country on this vital issue. And thank you for coming out and being part of this service this evening. I was amused this week reading all of the static about this telecast that's taking place tonight, when liberal senators like Senator Kennedy and Senator Reid were saying, what are people of faith doing getting involved in this process? We shouldn't be involved because we're Christians. Of course we should be involved. We ought to be the best of citizens. That's what Augustine tells us to be. And here's a major public issue with profound moral and constitutional implications. You bet we should be involved in that issue. And we're going to be involved in it. And we are speaking out. Truth and love to our society, that's the job of the church as the conscience of society. And who mixed politics and religion together in the first place in this issue? Was not Bill Pryor, the Attorney General of Alabama, denied confirmation to the 11th Circuit because of his Christian views, his strong pro-life views? He had a perfect judicial record. He's one of the finest men in public office I know. He was denied. It was the minority in the Senate that applied a religious test to block him. Catholics not need apply, as a lot of journalists wrote after that confirmation was defeated. Take the case of Judge Pickering. Judge Pickering was denied confirmation by the Senate under the Advice and Consent Clause because he told a defendant after he'd been sentenced that when he got to the prison in Mississippi, Parchman, that he ought to look up Chuck Colson's Prison Fellowship and get into it. I thought that was pretty good advice, frankly, but the liberals used that to block his appointment to the judiciary. This is scandalous. It reminds me of what went on in England two centuries ago when William Wilberforce, the great abolitionist, the great campaigner, the great Christian campaigner against the slave trade, was bringing his legislation to the floor of the parliament, and Lord Melbourne stood up and said, in a righteous moment, things have come to a pretty pass in England when religion is allowed to invade public life. Well, thank God religion invaded public life and we brought an end to the slave trade. I think also when I see the senators filibustering to prevent judicial nominations and abuse of the Advice and Consent Clause in the Constitution, I think about the last time they did this. I happen to have lived long enough to have been in the United States Senate as a young Senate aide in the late 50s when the filibuster was used by a minority of senators to block civil rights legislation and give the right to vote to every American. That was scandalous at the time. And we had to fight it for 8 years and finally succeeded. And we'll fight this one. We're going to succeed a lot faster because we're going to stop the filibustering on the Advice and Consent Clause. The Senate has a duty to vote up or down a judge, a nominee of the president. That's the way the Constitution is set up. That's what it means. And this is all part of the balance of powers, folks. This is a big constitutional question because in the balance of powers, our founders recognized, and this was a Christian contribution, that there had to be three co-equal branches of government. Otherwise, being disposed to sin as we are, believing in the fall, there could be abuses. And so three branches of government were set up, all to be independent and to balance one another. Now what the Senate minority is trying to do is by a filibuster to seize what they lost at the ballot box and to prevent the appointment of judges, holding the judiciary hostage. That's destroying the independence of the judiciary, and it is destroying the balance of powers, which was a vital Christian contribution to the founding of our nation. Of course we ought to be involved in speaking out on this. And listen to what these senators are doing. When they're filibustering, they are going exactly contrary because they are not acting under the Advice and Consent Clause the way the Advice and Consent Clause was clearly intended by the founders. Let's look at Federalist Paper number 76, Hamilton's writing at the time of the constitutional debates. Here's what he said. It's not likely, speaking of the Senate's vote to advise and consent or confirm judges, it is not likely that their sanction would often be refused were there not special and strong reasons for the refusal. Then he goes on to explain what those special and strong reasons would be. It would be an excellent check upon the spirit of favoritism in the president and would tend greatly to prevent the appointment of unfit characters from state prejudice, from family connection, from personal attachment, or from a view to popularity. In other words, it was to be a check on the president that he wouldn't appoint his brother to the Supreme Court or wouldn't appoint some political hack. It was never intended to give the Senate co-equal power in the naming of judges. And they're not even, the filibuster is an abuse even of that, because the filibuster is saying, I'm minority. 41 senators can block an up or down vote on the confirmation under the advice and consent clause intended in the Congress to be simply a check on the abuse of the executive. This is a travesty. This is a minority of senators trying to get power to decide who sits on the bench and who doesn't, and that's never intended by the constitutional framers. I think these senators ought to go back and read the Federalist Papers and understand what our Constitution really says and stop rewriting it before our eyes or abusing it in the process that is going on in the Senate of the United States right now. You better believe that we're going to speak out on these public issues, and we're not going to be intimidated when people tell us we're trying to impose our views. Impose our views? Who's trying to impose their views? You know where that term first came up? That came up not with Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson in the 1980s. It came up when Lincoln was trying to abolish slavery in the 1860 campaign. Thank God he did. Yes, we have a right to speak out, not imposing our views. We are simply part of the Democratic debate that's going to take place this week, and I want every one of you to get to that telephone, pick up that phone, and call that senator and say, respect the Constitution, which calls for an up or down vote on judges. Stop abusing the advice and consent clause. Stop trying to rewrite the Constitution on the floor of the Senate and distort it. Give us our balance of powers. Get rid of this arcane technicality in the Senate, which is preventing the Senate from doing its duty to advise and consent under the Constitution. God bless you as you do that.
And that is exactly what I need you to do. I want you to get that pen and paper right now. I want you to write down this number. This is the Senate switchboard number. The number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Write that number down in the morning. On your way to work or on your first coffee break, I want you to call the Senate switchboard, and I want you to ask for your senator. If you know him, ask for him by name. If not, tell him what state you're from, and they will put you in contact with their office. Now,